and welcome to a new episode of Whip Count. I'm your host, Brianna Arthur. To kickstart our new season of Whip Count, I'm joined by the speaker, Representative Valerie Longhurst, and we have a few extra guests today.
Patricia May.
Elisa Schneider.
So, Speaker Longhurst, tell us, you know, why are we all here today, and what message are you trying to convey for everyone?
So today, I'm continuing my effort in breaking the silence. And I'm breaking the silence of children of alcoholics. 10 years ago, my mom passed away, and my mom had the disease of alcoholism, and my brothers and sister and I grew up with her, alcoholism. And you don't understand the trauma that you have until after you get out of it and realize that, you know, what you went through as a child and what you went through as a family, how it impacts your life. I knew when she passed away that I needed to speak out. It was a silent disease in our house. Nobody talked about it. We didn't really know what it was, but we knew something was different, especially when we go to other people's houses. It was just a whole different lifestyle. And traumatic as it was, it didn't hit me until later. And during those times, my mom attempted suicide twice. And as a little girl in third grade, that's very difficult to understand and grasp that concept. I have a twin sister, so it was nice to have that closeness. But there were no resources in schools. There's nobody to talk to. And I realized as I got older, some of the trauma that I had, I really needed to open up and figure out what that was caused from. I made peace with it with my mom. But when she passed away, I felt like there's got to be something more that I could do. Helping children, helping them understand it, how to move on from it, and more importantly, how to break the cycle.
Yes.
And I have two children that we have broken the cycle, but I feel talking about children growing up with that disease in my life, that it needs to be explained more. And, you know, I work at the PAL of Delaware, which I service over 600 kids, and they come in every day, and I feel them. I know what they're going through. And to be there for them and build the community around them. Also putting school counselors back into our schools. It would have been nice to have a community or an after-school program to go to. It would have been nice to have a counselor to help me through it. But with HB 100, 200, and 300, we're putting more counselors and psychologists in schools. And my journey over the last 10 years has been recognizing the impacts of trauma in life of children and doing something about it. And today it's just raising that awareness once more.
So as you said, this resolution, you know, it's all about speaking out and breaking the silence and talking with family and friends about alcoholism and the impact that it has. So I want to open the floor to everyone. What impact has alcohol had on your family dynamic, or if it wasn't you specifically, like, what do you guys know about the impact of alcohol in a family dynamic?
Sure. So I grew up with a mother who was an addict from as young as I could remember. I didn't know that's what it was going on because it was just normal for like there to be 25 to 30 pill bottles on her nightstand. And it was all prescribed by a doctor. So it was okay. And I remember just going home and not knowing what mood my mom would be in, and not knowing why she was yelling at me, and then sometimes nice, and then what did I do wrong, and how can I fix it, and how can I be better, and why didn't she like me, you know, because everybody in an addictive family has a role, and if you stray from that role, you know, God help you. Mm-hmm. And it's so confusing. And the thing is, when you grow up, you carry that dynamic on into your life. And the trauma from that is so pervasive, and it's torture to live in the mind of a kid growing up in addiction. And it's confusing. And even when I was a teenager, when my mom went into her first rehab, and we lived out of the country. Mm-hmm. And I actually am in recovery from an eating disorder. And I knew it, and it the awareness, though, I would still even torture myself with that. Well, you know, so you should get better. You know, so what's wrong with you? So there was still confusion around that because my mom was still, would go back into active addiction. And so my relationships had the addiction in it. It wasn't until I really was working on the recovery from the addiction growing up in the home. And so it really struck me how little there was even growing up. It was never even mentioned when I was little. And even when I was a teenager, we went to go to Families Anonymous, and they told my dad not to bring his kids. So so I decided, like, there needed to be something. I was, like, really resonating with what you were saying, Valerie. So I'm just so grateful you're really speaking out on this level. So 10 years ago, my son said to me, Mom, it's weird. It's weird, because he was, like, at his dad's, and I was like, weird, the House of Weird, that's perfect. So I wrote a book, The House of Weird, and because writing was my outlet. It was a way I could speak without getting in trouble, really say my truth. And I wanted to give kids a tool to say, somebody sees you and somebody hears you. And, you know, because just to give them hope and that there is something, there is somebody. You're not the only one, because it does feel like it.
Yeah.
So that was, that's why I'm here. And I am just, I'm so grateful for the journey and all the people I've met in it and to be here today. So I'm just really honored.
This is amazing, you know, that you guys are sharing your stories and, you know, letting people know that they're not alone. Like, there's other kids out there that are experiencing what you guys went through. So thank you again for sharing your stories.
But another thing, Brianna, is that every year that I do this and I get off the floor from doing the resolution, two or three people come up to me and say, thank you. I went through the same thing. Like, you would be shocked at the amount of people that have come to me over the years that have said to me, you hit a chord with me because I grew up that way also. So breaking the silence and talking about it, I think, helps people heal. And I'm hoping that today is another person steps forward to me. And it resonates with them that they're not alone and you survived it and you can keep going. And that trauma will stay with you for the rest of your life. But at the same time, know that we've all survived. And we find different ways to do it, whether it's through writing a book, whether it's through legislation. You know, that's what we do, right?
Yes, that's right. That's right. Well, I have kind of become a family issue growing up, very similar to what you've heard already. But kind of what I bring to it is I was in the criminal justice field, first as attorney general's office, public defender's office, probation, parole, then went on to work in the prison system. And just the impact that addictions and alcoholism, any kind of addiction, impacts on a person, that has a whole lot to do with criminal behavior. Just I think as I got older, I started realizing how much is involved. And when you, as a child, you go through actually post-traumatic stress disorders. And then so often then somebody that lives in an alcoholic or addictive family, then many times will then go on to addictions. Not always, but then that leads to a whole, the pattern just keeps going family to family.
You got to break the cycle.
Yes. And then with that comes sometimes all kinds of physical abuse and sexual abuse. So you have a parent that's drunk all the time, and then sometimes that leads into sexual abuse. And be surprised how, when I worked in the men's prison, and how many men had actually grown up in an addictive family and actually had been sexually abused also. And we definitely don't talk about that issue.
No,
and definitely it was quite hard to get the men, because the guys were too embarrassed to let anybody know they had been sexually abused. So I come to this, you know, from a personal level, but also professional. So I joined the board of directors. I'm a full-time a volunteer. Oh my goodness, I guess I've been involved with the agency like 8 years. I've lost track now. It's been a while.
So one of four children under the age of 18 has been impacted in their lives of a parent that has alcoholism or addiction problems. So that's a large number. Yes. That's a large number. And, you know, not only that is that you see that a family of four, one of those four children will have an addiction or an alcohol problem because that's the cycle that they're used to. So as if we could talk about it, we can get the help. And we could raise awareness to break that silence and let the children know that go seek your counselor at school, go to after-school programs and talk to people, and it's okay. It's okay. Right. You can talk about it because you need to talk about it because you need to break that silence. And in the house, like you said, you came home, you know what you're going to get, you know. Exactly. But if you stay out late, you know, hopefully, you know things progress as the evening goes on.
They're asleep.
Yeah, they're asleep. I wanted to say that. They're asleep, and that's your safe place to come home and just say, okay, I know it's going to be a quiet time at this point, but, like, you don't know what you're in, you know, when you're a young woman and you're trying to grow up, or a young man, you know, you're trying to build your confidence. You got all the other stuff going on in your life, and not to have your support system at home can really change the direction of your life.
100%.
And, you know, having school counselors, again, I'll say that over and over again. And having school psychologists in schools are important to me. That's a safety net to help those children that are going to get abused, because they do. And the children are dealing with it on a regular basis. Got to stop the cycle.
Yeah.
Break the silence.
Yes, 100%. And, you know, as you all were saying, in a perfect world, after everything you guys just told me, in a perfect world, how would you end the cycle of alcoholic and or drug addiction in a family dynamic or in a family setting? Like, what would you guys love to see, or what are you guys envision and trying to, you know, reduce or break 100% that cycle, like I said, in the perfect world?
Well, in the perfect world, I first of all, it's talking about it and educating the public about it. The second piece is it's going to happen, you know, and I keep saying this, upstream or downstream. Upstream is you solve it earlier. Downstream is incarceration, homelessness, addiction, and all that kind of stuff. Is HB 100 was a great start in the state of Delaware, that we put more school counselors and social workers into schools. You have to have, the ratio can't be 1 to 1,000. You will never get to that child, right? And I think we've made advances in the state of Delaware where we are putting more counselors and social workers into schools so that the kids have the resources that they need. We have to provide the resources, because if we don't provide the resources, they don't know. They don't know what they don't know. Yeah. But you do see through in school, they're disruptive. They don't come to school. Their grades are poor. You get held behind. I was in my, when I was growing up, I was held behind. They put me back a year. And, you know, that's a child of an alcoholic. You know, my brother failed out of school. So all those things are real, and those are triggers that you could see in the school.
Yeah.
But if we have the resources that we can have them off, because their parents aren't capable of helping them because they're, you know, they don't know, right? So in the perfect world, I would have that ratio smaller.
I second that, and I think there needs to be increased resources and more buffers in the trauma earlier. So, like, because you obviously can't stop what's there, but if you can buffer the trauma and allow kids to get in touch with who they are inside, their inner self, they have that resource there. So they're like, they can have inner compassion. They learn that early. Unfortunately, the parent's not there, but they start to find that. They have the resources in the safe space somewhere. And that's shown to help. With trauma. So that, I think it's beautiful. And I think more resources, definitely. I second it.
It's a very complicated situation. There's no easy, I wish there was an easy fix, but there isn't. Now, the part I play mostly is education. Just, I think sometimes if somebody can understand maybe why they think the way they do, or why they react the way they do, or I think it's not always understood how much it affects the whole family dynamics. And it's not just when you're a child, but it affects all your relationships alter your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, it's very complicated of how it impacts on your life now, I mean, as an adult. Mm-hmm. So we have to really hit all age groups.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The child, the teenager, the adult.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though you maybe no longer live in that situation, so many times it affects your day-to-day life still. And so many times it ends up, you know, in divorces.
Yeah.
So then when you end up in divorces, and all of a sudden you have children now without a father in the home a lot of times. So that brings its own issue. So it's just...
Break the cycle.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
break
exactly.
The cycle.
Break the cycle. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Break the cycle. Thank you again for joining me today. You know, this is a really important topic, and I'm so, so glad that you guys are bringing this to light and, you know, letting people know, hey, you are not alone. Take a look at us. We're here. We're here to help you in any way we can. And, you know, your book, again, let them know, hey, read this book. You know, I experienced it too. You're not alone. I hope this is another way that, you know, this can be your outlet the same way as how it was for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's writing, art, I mean, sports. There's so many ways.
Avenues to self-heal.
Yeah.
And everybody on the house floor today will get a copy of the book. So we're excited that today we're spreading the education piece still.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, thank you again for your time today. I appreciate it.
From the Delaware House Democratic Caucus, this is Web Count. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and subscribe to our YouTube channel to stay up to date on all things happening in Legislative Hall. Until next time.